You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Tumbling down. We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed. Dude, I live on the 34th floor of a building which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end. People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came down walking here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers. I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and then just ream into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then, of course, I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
There was constant discussion about him hiding out in caves, and I think many times the American people have a perception that it's a little hole dug out of the side of a mountain.
Oh, no.
This is it. This is a fortress.
Yes.
A complex, multi-tiered, bedrooms and offices on the top, as you can see. Secret exits on the side and on the bottom. Cut deep to avoid thermal detection. A ventilation system to allow people to breathe and to carry on. The entrance is large enough to drive trucks and even tanks. Even computer systems and telephone systems. It's a very sophisticated operation.
Oh, you bet. This is serious business. And there's not one of those. There are many of them.
There's this constant discussion about him hiding out in caves, and I think many times American people have perceptions that it's a little hole dug in the side of a mountain. Oh, no. This is it. This is a fortress. A complex. Multi-tiered. Bedrooms and offices on the top, as you can see. Secret exits on the side and on the bottom. Cut deep to avoid thermal detection. A ventilation system to allow people to breathe and to carry on. The entrance is large enough to drive trucks and even tanks. Even computer systems and telephone systems. It's a very sophisticated operation. Oh, you bet. And this is serious business. And there's not one of those. There's many of those.
The public.
They gotta know.
Yes.
Stan, get with it. Who killed Kennedy? I read the first draft of the Warren Report. It says he was killed by a drunk driver. You what's to go for? What do you see day after day? The one smart bomb falling down a chimney. The truth? I was in the building when we shot that shot. We shot it in a studio, Falls Church, Virginia, 1/10 scale model of a building.
Is that true?
How the fuck do we know? You take my point?
Yes. All right. Okay, and you want me to do what?
We want you to produce.
You want me to produce your war?
Not a war.
You want me to produce your war? Stan, get with it. Who do you think killed Kennedy? I read the first draft of the Warren Report. It says he was killed by a drunk driver. Yeah? They gotta know at some point. Who? The public. Stan, get with it. Yeah? I think a lot of fakeologists and a lot of listeners to fakeology.com and the broader ACT realm, a lot of people are still operating on this notion that the regular human is intelligent and bases his opinion on evidence. If you still believe the average human is intelligent and bases his or her opinion on evidence rather than cherry-picks evidence to suit their preconceived beliefs, if you still believe that, then you are one of the learning masses, man. One of the most important realizations you can make is that the average human ain't that smart, okay? They can be financially successful, they can have good careers, they can be socially successful, they can be happy, very important. Doesn't mean that they base their opinions on evidence, man. Whoever convinced you that humans base their opinions on evidence, that person fooled you, man. Humans are dumb as shit, and that is why you can convince them that there are these things called nuclear bombs. Ooh. It's also why some people can supposedly know that nuclear bombs are fake, but still believe in war, which is the case for many people here at Fakeologist.com. Many people here, they know that nuclear bombs are fake, man. They know that, what's his name, Putin? Vladimir Putin? Vladimir, what a perfect Russian name. It is Vladimir, I'm pretty sure. That's his first name, let's look that up. Vladimir Putin. I'm pretty sure it's Vladimir, man. Yep. Vladimir Putin. People here can know that he's a hoax. They can know the Cold War's a hoax. They can know that nuclear bombs are a hoax. But they still believe that war itself is real. You see, this is how humans are, man. They're dumb as shit. Humans are dumb as shit. Okay? That's the fact of the matter. Even when they know something, they still don't know nothing, man. They're shit. And it's just how they are, man. It's not a problem. Many of the dumbest humans on the earth today, they're happy. They're happier than me. Now, who's really the smart human, huh? The human who knows about the hoaxes but is medium happy? Or the human who doesn't know shit but is happy as a pig in poo? I say the second one is happier, personally. Many people out there are happier than me. I guarantee it. Dumber than me and happier. So who's really the dumb one? Think about it. Let's play an Aussie classic, shall we? Well, we've got a problem. Apparently, if you start a video and then pause it, you can't get rid of it. So, Napoleon, if you're out there, man, can you please come and join me? Let's get rid of this wag the dog video, which is getting in my way now, because I want to play a different video. How do you remove a video? This is a problem. Can we clear cue? Ah, hold on a second. That worked too easy. Yeah, it's not stopping, it's a problem, it's clearing the queue. But no, I pressed, let me tell you a story, man. Back when I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9, maybe younger, maybe 6 or 7. Somewhere between 6 and 9, a family friend or a neighbor had Leisure Suit Larry on their computer. And this was back before mass multiplayer online games. This was back before the internet as we know it. Anyway, the way that this first Leisure Suit Larry computer game worked was you typed in the instructions. So, for instance, okay, get this. I'll tell you what happened. Back when I was a kid, we had Jewish friends. I didn't know they were Jewish. I didn't know anything about the Jews. But when I was a kid, man, my best friend was a Jew. His family was Jewish. I had no idea, man. I used to sleep over there whenever I could, man. Anytime I was welcome, I stayed over there. Their place was fun, man. My friend was fun. His older brother was fun. Their parents were so nice to me. It was just fun. You know, yeah, like when you're kids, you want to go and have sleepovers, yeah? My friend, let's call him, let me think, Marsilius. That's not his real name. Whenever Marsilius would invite me over, dude, yeah, I would stay over there. They were awesome. But I didn't know they were Jewish. And I was a kid. I wouldn't even known what a Jew was. It was only years later I found out that they were Jewish. And then years after that I found out what that even means. But they were awesome. And so anyway, they were very funny. My mate and his older brother were just funny people, man. If I have a sense of humor, if I have a decent sense of humor, a lot of that goes back to when I was a freaking primary school kid. Those guys. And I could sit here and tell you some stories, but like some of you listening, you remember when you were sort of, when things were explained to you, this is funny, that's funny? Some of you can't remember. Like, you don't remember your childhoods. Those of you who do remember your childhoods probably can point to certain key moments. I'll give you an example. I first saw the film Dumb and Dumber at these guys' house. And there's a scene in Dumb and Dumber where the Jim Carrey character has sold a dead bird to a blind kid. And so we're watching Dumb and Dumber, and Marsilius and his brother, his older brother, let's call him, Noddy. His older brother, Noddy, and my mate, Marsilius, they're just pissing themselves laughing when it cuts to the guy going, pretty bird, pretty. He's like, you sold my dead bird to a blind kid? And then it just cuts to this guy going, this little blind kid going, pretty bird, right? Marsilius and Noddy are just pissing themselves laughing. And I'm this little kid, I'm like, I don't understand why this is funny. And they explained it, like, this kid, he thinks it's a real bird, but it's dead. Like, it was very funny to them, and I was learning a sense of humor from these guys, yeah? These little Jewish kids. Who I had no idea at the time that I was Jewish or anything like this.
Hi, and, I'm Chad from Northern California, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And Chad 628, by the way, is a fantastic guy. He's a member of JohnLeBond.com, and I haven't met him in real life, but from what I've interacted with him on the internet, and I'm talking many interactions, voice calls and emails and this kind of thing, probably one of the most genuine people you'll meet on the internet. So if you're ever in Northern California, try and send that guy an email, catch up with him for a coffee. You probably won't find a more genuine guy than that guy. And I've been on the internet for a long time, so when I say he's the most genuine dude I've met on the internet, then you can quote me on that. Lovely fellow. Anyway, so going back to my story. Oh, yeah, so my little Jewish friend. But I didn't know he was Jewish. And back when I was a kid, I didn't even know what a Jew was, man. I had no idea. It was only later I found out that he was Jewish and all the rest of it. And this is one of the reasons why when people say to me, oh, it's the Jews, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, if you believe that, that's fine. But there are some of us who have known Jews in real life, and our lives are better because we knew them. And they took good care of us. And they never pushed anything on us. So, if you believe the Jews are responsible for all the bad things, okay, fine, but hopefully you can at least see why some of us don't see it that way. We've had positive experiences with these people. And in my case, some people think I'm funny, some people don't. Those of you who do think I have a good sense of humor, a lot of that goes back to this little Jewish family I knew when I was a kid. And, like, it wasn't just Dumb and Dumber. There were all these movies that we never had in my house, but when I was at their house, these guys just spent their whole time watching comedies and doing dumb shit, and yeah, it was a very important part of my formative years. Now, where was I going with this? There was a point to my story. Where was I going with this? I don't know. I've got Napoleon Wilson in the live stream chat. Napoleon, you there, mate? Take yourself off me and say hello. It's the 11th of April 2019, by the way. I should have introduced that properly at the start. I'm John LeBond. This is Fakeologist.com. April 11. Man, this year is going fast, Napoleon. This is... Dude, we're more than a quarter of the way through the... Dude, we're more than a quarter of the way through the year already. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know. It only dawns on you when you start seeing the light change. You know, if you're one of the lucky ones that gets up, you know, as morning's breaking, then...
What time do you wake up for work, typically? What time, like, do you wake up?
5:33, but I usually wake up about 15 minutes before it.
So you wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. What time do you go to bed normally? Like, what's your typical bedtime?
Usually between 9:50 and 10:20.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, remember, I drank for years, John. So I was always, you know what it's like when you drink. You only ever get 6 hours. So even though I've not drank for a year, I've only really started, you know, having an extra half hour sleep. Which is about right. I mean, you got a choice, don't you? You can sleep a quarter of your life, which is 6 hours, or if you do 8 hours, it's a third of your life. So, you know, as long as it's somewhere in between that, you're not taking too much time. But
it's interesting,
more than
like,
8
what
hours.
Is the ideal sleeping time? The matter is, bro, I don't know. It could be 6. I don't think it's 8, man. I think 8 is excessive, honestly. I think it could be 6 hours. I think maybe you're doing the ideal thing already.
No, I think Ab's the one, because I say Ab get up, and when his light disappears and all that, and he's literally a six-hour man, like 6 hour, 10 minutes, but he's a... Once your body gets into that routine, you know, hopefully for me, and you keep a job and, you know, you wake up yourself, whatever you say, in your own routine, you're not working shift patterns, it's very easy for your body to adjust to the point where, you know, some people can get through on 5-4 hours.
I think that's possible, man. I'm open to that. This idea that maybe some people are better off with 4 or 5 hours as well.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who have doses in the afternoon, you know, half an hour dose, even if they don't need it, they just say, oh, I'm disappearing. So, but yeah, I've seen that. See, that's the type of thing. Some people, and I'm one of them, if I have a heavy lunch, I do get like a food coma, you know, and it makes you tired.
Yep, 100%, dude, 100%.
So I'm one of them. I try and do as much as I can before I actually have to settle, you know, eat and drink and, you know, all these different things. So an early job, an early start's a lot better for me.
You know how when you're a young man, older, wiser men, if they prove that they're older and wiser, you kind of look up to them? When I was like 18, 19, there was a guy who I met at a job. Very long story, I'll cut it short. He said to me, an hour's sleep before 11 p.m. is worth 2 hours sleep after it. In other words, get to sleep at a good time. You don't have to sleep so much, right? I honestly believe that's true. Like, if you get to sleep at a good time, 9 p.m, 10 p.m, you can wake up at 5, no problems at all, yeah? But if you're getting to bed at 12 or 1, you've got to sleep in, yeah? I reckon he was onto something. He was a cool dude. He was a really cool dude.
Well, you've actually hit on something there. Anyway, I've been saying this for a number of years now. It does seem like people are sleeping less and more tired. You know, I mean, it's like you were saying there, the wise gentleman, you know, getting an hour before 11 is worth 2. Yeah, but with all the entertainment we have now and things like that, people are doing the bare minimum they can, aren't they? You don't really see many people who are, you know, what's it, my body is my temple, so to speak, unless they're in some kind of a, you know, performance game.
I mean, I'm guilty, Napoleon, I'm guilty.
Yeah, people don't look after themselves anymore, right?
No, I'm guilty 100%, man. I'm sitting here right now drinking some cheap fucking Malaysian scotch, pardon my language, some cheap Malaysian scotch, mate. And you know what? When I'm finished recording this, you know I'm going out, mate. I found this new place. It's a music bistro, but they won't let you in if you're wearing sandals. And I was wearing sandals earlier this evening. So I was like, all right, I'll go home, have a swim, have a drink, and come back with shoes on, which is exactly what I plan to do in about half an hour's time, mate. So I can't very well sit here and judge people who don't take care of themselves, because guess what? I'm one of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not talking... I mean, people can, you know, everybody can get up and try and live a healthy lifestyle, but, you know, there are people who will spend the last 4 hours of the day sat in front of a square box, just eating and, you know, eating crap and stuff like that. I mean, we've all been guilty of it. Even watching crap, I believe watching crap's worse for you than eating shite. Your body can at least try and get rid of some of that, some of the shite that's pumped into your ear holes. We're still knocking around.
It's funny you say that, right? So when I was in Brisbane, the last 2 years I was living in a place in a suburb called Kapira with a nice guy. I met him through a friend. So this guy was the best friend of a guy who I met. Long story short, this guy's a nice guy. He was about 40 years old, and he was single, not married, no children, blah, blah, blah. He was a tradie. He was a tradesman. He was a house builder. Bro, he would sit there and watch movies. He would watch movies most nights, yeah, and I would have to walk past the lounge room to get from my room either to the kitchen or to go outside. There was no way to get outside without going through the lounge room, yeah. It felt like every time I walked through there was someone being shot on the screen. This guy would always watch like action films or action TV shows, and I found myself thinking, this guy's probably watching on average 5, 10, 20 deaths per evening, just sitting there, sipping his scotch, watching people get shot. This can't be good for you, man. Like, on a spiritual level, just watching people get shot? You know?
Not even on a spiritual level. It's just funny when you compare things like, you know, the categorizing of films, you know, from the 70s up until modern day. You know, things now you can get away with a lot more now than you can in the old days, but yet, like, you had PG-13, Jaws, you know, so it wasn't murders, but it was deaths. But now, murder's not a problem. You know, a couple of gunshots, people getting shot in kids' programs, in, you know, young adult dramas, you know, the serials, it's everywhere, man. You've got, and then you have the quieter stories, which are usually about abuse from one person to another. Yeah, and I've stayed away from TV a long, long time ago, but every now and again, I'll do what you do there. I'll pass the TV, or I'll be watching it at someone's house. And, yeah, the difference is putting on an old classic film that you know, so let's just pick one for argument's sake, The French Connection, you know, Gene Hackman. That's got graphic violence in it, it's gritty, this, that, and the other, but there's not that many deaths, you know, there might be two. But nowadays, it seems like they're using gunshots as almost the background music for the films now.
Are you much of a Netflix watcher? Like, do you?
I don't have Netflix or anything like that, mate.
Me neither.
I use Putlock off now and again for a while, see if there's anything about. But I'm not really in a rush. I do like the classics, though. I'll be honest with you, I really do like the classics. Well, you've taken that. I'll be watching a classic later on. I'm not sure which one, but we'll find something somewhere.
Do you have, like, a favourite TV series, like, over your life? Is there, like, a TV series?
Quantum Leap and Red Dwarf.
So these are sci-fi.
Both sci-fi. One's time travel, one's the last man on, the last human being in the universe.
When you learn that outer space is a hoax, I'm assuming that you agree that outer space is a hoax.
Yeah, you can assume away then.
Did that kind of take away your enjoyment of your sci-fi shows?
No, it didn't. Maybe because it was
good,
enveloped
because,
in,
dude, I can
in
still
a story.
Watch Stargate, man. I can still watch Stargate SG-1. I still love it. Even though I know that outer space is a hoax, this is all bullshit, like, I can still enjoy the show, man. It's still fun for what it is, you know? It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
That's the main, you know, I do believe that. That's second nature with their human stories. We do love stories. Have you seen a film called Reign of Fire about dragons taking over the world?
No, I haven't. Well, who's the main actors?
You've got Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey. It's from about 2004.
Christian Bale, man, he's a good actor. Hold on, Reign of Fire. Let me look this up. Might have to download it. 2002.
Okay. Well, if you're on YouTube there, right, yeah, I'll tell you what, let me just...
Matthew McConaughey, man, I like that guy, man. He's a cool dude. I've got to watch this. I'm going to write a little note for myself. Download Reign of Fire. I like Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. You know, I like Matthew McConaughey, man. He's in Contact. Yeah.
You were going to say that. Yeah, that's when he says, "Let's do Einstein. Let's talk Einstein."
That's right.
There's so many things. That's a Carl Sagan film, by the way.
Doesn't he also? Yeah, it is. That's correct. It is a Carl Sagan film. Doesn't he also become the guy who bombs the device? I'm pretty sure. Is it him or is it a different character?
No, that's Gary Busey's son. Gary Busey's young lad. Remember the guy who was in Lethal Weapon?
Man, when I listen to you and also Rick Exoteric, when you guys talk about films, you remember all the actors and actresses so well. I'm like, man, you guys remember those details. It's almost like Rain Man style, you know? I don't remember these details as good as you guys do. It's phenomenal. Rain of Fire.
Right, well, I'm just going to try a trick. Let's see if this works.
Well, what do you think of what's
her name? Yeah, listen, John, there's something
what's
playing in the background there. There's something playing in the background there, mate. Listen. The Blackhead says, "When we can end this conflict forever."
Never. I'll never join you, the White Knight's mess. You kill my father. The Black Knight stares through the holes in his shiny mask, and he speaks words that burn into our hero's heart forever. I
am your father.
Right, so that there was a tiny clip from Reign of Fire, where what it is they're left desolated in the future, and they're trying to reenact something for the children that are living in the compound where they're staying. So they're reenacting Star Wars, and the kids love it. And it's not totally accurate. The Black Knight, the White Knight, obviously it's going to be copyright this, I knew, but it just shows you we love stories. We love stories, man.
I just discovered something amazing. You know Christian Bale? Did you know his father? His father has now passed away. I just discovered 60 seconds ago that Christian Bale's father was married to Gloria Steinem. Do you know this Gloria Steinem character?
Partially. Please elaborate.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Gloria Steinem is an American feminist, journalist, and social political activist who became nationally recognized as a leader and spokeswoman for the American feminist movement in the 60s and 70s. Steinem was a columnist for the New York Magazine, co-founder of Miss Magazine. In 1969, she published an article, After Black Power, Women's Liberation, which brought her to national fame as a feminist leader. Blah, blah, blah. Holy shit, man. Christian Bale's father was married to Gloria Steinem, who many people try and claim she was part of the CIA. I don't know if that's true. I don't even know if the CIA actually exists. But holy shit, man. Christian Bale's father was married to Gloria Steinem. And I just discovered that 2 minutes ago.
Well, he was also in Empire of the Sun, early Spielberg film when he was about 13.
And that was his first film, apparently. Yeah, that was his first breakthrough film. Yeah.
And also,
what do you think of Steven Spielberg? What's your opinion, Napoleon, of Steven Spielberg? What's your opinion of him?
He's a wizard. He's one of the best wizards, man. He's stuck in. Have you seen the film Amblin? It's from his film.
Nope, haven't seen it.
Right, I'll give you the quick gist. Take about a minute. Starts off, it's set in 1969. You see a fella hitchhiking down the side of a road. You think he's heading for California. He's got a guitar case, he's dressed like a beatnik, and, you know, you've got a lovely 60s music in the background, all there, fairy and, you know, free music, that type of thing. Then obviously it carries on, he gets bits of lifts here and there. Then he ends up getting out of the car and standing on this main road, and then a girl comes round the corner. And as the girl comes round the corner, they're sort of making eye contact. He knows that she's sort of looking at him, he knows she's looking at her, a little bit of kidding and playing. And then they end up both getting picked up. Obviously, she's looking at him and he's not really paying attention, it seems. He's wanting to get to where he's going. Anyway, when they finally do get to near the beach, so obviously they've hitchhiked across, you know, most of America, I suppose. It's only a short film, 28 minutes. He gets really, really excited once he sees the sea. So he's got his guitar case and he's running, but all the way through the journey, he's been protective of his guitar, and he's never taken it out. Anyway, as he's running, she gets out of the car and the car takes away and you can just see him. He throws his guitar case to the side because obviously he's found this sea, so he's heading for it. So he goes and frolics in the sea, and while he's frolicking the sea, she's catching him up, and she sees the guitar case. So she goes over to open it, and when she opens it, she notices that there's no guitar in there. There's a clean pressed suit, there's some milk of magnesia, and also some toilet paper. So basically, it's going to sound weird, he's a homosexual. And that's why it didn't. But that's why, you know, he never made a pass at her, and, you know, all these different things he wanted to. It's almost like he was being reborn again in the Pacific Ocean, so to speak. But all the way through it, and it's still alluded to, nothing's made, you know, totally clear there. You just have to read between the lines, and obviously, you know, eventually you do. But that got him a 7-picture deal with Sid Sheinberg, obviously head of Panama at the time. So there you go. But yeah, Ambly.
He's a wizard.
I call the magic, we say it's, you know, it's, there's always something else. It's like Mr. Miyagi, isn't it? You know, polishing, but you're not really polishing. You.
Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
That was a great film, wasn't it? That was fantastic.
The Karate Kid is a fine film. It's a fine film. I put that up there. You see, I think there's age groups for films as well. And for a young lad, obviously Ralph Macchio was about 27 when he made that, but he looks young. He really does. And I put everyone up there for that. It's got to be better than watching pretend fights in, you know, aeroplanes with Tom Cruise and stuff. But what it was, it's shown the class barrier, it's shown, there's lots of different things going on in that film, but nevertheless, a very, very heartwarming film. And wins at the end by kicking someone in the face, which is always a bonus.
Bro, bear with me. Let's play Mr. Miyagi now. I'll be back in 2 minutes, all right?
All right, mate.
What are you doing? Ow! Ow, what are you doing?
Now show me sand the floor.
How did you do that?
Shut up!
Sand the floor.
Hey, stand up. Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Big sucker, sand the floor. Sand the floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me pentafence. Up. Done. Up. Done. Up. Done. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock wrist. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That! Show me pin to fence. That! Face! That! Show me side to side. Yes! That! Show me stand off floor. Hat! Face! Look, I always look, I come back tomorrow.
Wow, what a classic scene, man. How old were you when you first saw Karate Kid?
How old are you now, Napoleon?
I'm 31. How old are you now?
I'm 41. I'm 10 years older than you. I'm 42 on the 9th of June, so a couple of months away, I'll be 42.
When did Karate Kid come out? I don't even know. Before I was born, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it'd be 84, I reckon.
1984, you're correct, 100%. So it came out when you were 7.
Yeah, it was a fine film, yeah. Do you know what, though? When you go back and watch the film, there's things in it that stick out. It's like, where the fuck are they? Where's the teachers? You know. Nowadays, everything's going to tell a teacher, but there's no teachers in that. Mr. Miyagi batters these 18-year-old teens, and then sets up a fight. And it is a fine comedy as well. Some of the writing in that is brilliant. Who directed
it? How about the scene when Mr. Miyagi is like mourning, I guess, his dead wife or something, yeah? He's getting drunk.
Yeah.
Like, apparently every year on this day, he gets drunk, yeah? Like, I haven't seen that film for at least 5 years. Like, I can't remember when I last saw it, but I just remember that scene where Daniel has to put Mr. Miyagi to bed because on this day every year, he gets drunk remembering... Is it his dead wife or... I can't remember. There's some person who's dead who he's mourning, you know? And he does it through alcoholism. Yeah, little things like
that. I mean, you know, we get enjoyment out of it, but it has caused some problems. I'm sure it's what inspired fucking Joe Rogan. You know?
So what do you think of Joe Rogan? What's your opinion of Joe Rogan?
He annoys me. He annoys me. He's too predictable. Yeah, I used to think he was not genuine, but I used to think he was, what's the word? I used to think he was trying. You know, he was trying to do some of it, and I just realised he's just a farm. That's all he is, just a farm for the consensus for the comedy. And, you know, we've seen it with Saturday Night Live, didn't we? We've seen, like, groups appear there, you know, travelling, you know, with Monty Python. It just seems to be that way, and with the social media thing now, you know, just something rotten about him. I don't understand it. I did like
you know he's huge with young men today. You understand, in the Western world, man, America, England, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, young men, like, I'm talking men, say, the 18 to 30 demographic. Rogan's the guy, bro. Rogan's the guy. If you met a young man who listens to podcasts, he's probably listening to Rogan. This guy's huge, man.
Yeah, well, he's thingy, isn't he? He's like Alex Jones 2.0, you know, with a little bit of a...
He's bigger than Jones, because he's got the MMA appeal, yeah? He's got the UFC appeal. Like, I know guys who don't listen to any podcast at all, except for Joe Rogan. Seriously. That's the only one I listen to.
Yeah, well, I like my film podcast, but, no, like I say, I mean, you know, there comes a time, it's probably about 5 years ago, when I just decided, right, better stop listening now. But that happens, you know, it happens everywhere. We all do that. You outgrow people, you move on, you know. I mean, I could still listen to him talk about, oh, no, the Musk must have gone to the moon, because I think it's funny, because you can just see he's, you know, he's holding back.
Oh, because he spoke to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who
was
straight and narrow, yeah?
Yeah.
Can we play a clip of that? Hold on, let me look this up right now.
Do whatever you want, man.
Joe Rogan, Neil deGrasse Tyson. If I can find a clip less than 3 minutes, I'll play it. If it's more than that, I'll play it. Fuck it. Pardon my language, by the way, guys. It's April 11, 2019. I'm here with Napoleon Wilson. Hey, Napoleon, man, it's so cool that, you know, a couple of years ago, I think a lot of people were very paranoid. I think most people have moved beyond that. It's just, we're just a bunch of dudes having a chat, man. There's no need to have any paranoia.
It's not that simple, is it? Everybody has their own little stories about someone and providing them with no brooch. I mean, no one wants to insult everyone, and everyone has common things they can talk about. But people seem to stop talking about stuff they're so sure about in text, and then turn to this normal everyday chit-chat. You know what I mean? So I do have problems with some people, you know, but that's just me. But like I say, I'm trying to be more of a spokesperson now, trying to be more open. Even though I know I have to shine it's bollocks, I'll be more open and let you speak your mind, and then that way at least I can get views from other people, you know.
Do you feel like you kind of mellowed out or sort of moderated over the last couple of years? Like your views have changed a little bit? Do you feel that way?
Well, remember, the only thing we can really do is analyse the lies we're given. So, you know, I'm not saying I've run out of lies to analyse. It's more a case of, right, we've weathered the storm there of the bullshit from the past 100 years. And now it's just taking a little bit a day at a time at what else they're trying to, you know, con you with. Like you were talking about.
How's this for a deal? I'm going to play a 3-minute clip now from Joe Rogan. I haven't seen the clip, but I think I know what it's about. Let's play the clip. We'll come back. We'll discuss it. And then in about 20 minutes, I've got to go and enjoy the KL nightlife. Are you cool with that? Sound good?
Yeah, I'm sound. Remember, don't forget
right,
your shoes.
I'm going to play this right now. Let's put the volume on 200. Let's see
Although
what Joe
see
Rogan has to say.
Amazing video of Buzz Aldrin. Did you see this?
Oh, punching the guy who said he didn't go to... I know that guy. That guy, Bart Sebril, that he punched. I went to
you know a moon landing denier?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know you know Alex Jones.
I used to be a moon landing denier. I used to believe totally that we never went to the moon. So there was a documentary that came on Fox. Yes, trust me.
No, Fox. I didn't Google you
in
hard enough before
in
I came
1990s, up. In the 1990s, Fox had a show called Conspiracy Theory, Did We Go to the Moon? And they aired it on television, prime time. And they got me hook, line, and sinker. And for years, I believed that we didn't go to the moon.
What changed you?
Mostly talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson, but also critical thinking. Also realizing that I was fully committed to that idea without really exploring the possibility whether that idea was incorrect. And that I had taken everything that I saw in that documentary, which is incredibly convincing, and with 100% confirmation bias, I only looked at that and I didn't look at all the contrary evidence. There's some fucked up stuff about the moon landing, unfortunately. And the fucked up stuff is mostly people that were involved in publicity that were doing stupid things with photographs. Like they had taken a picture of...
I'm going into uncharted territory here, just so you know. Like you're an expert on this.
Yeah.
I've never gone into moon landing denialism. So
yeah.
I don't know about it.
Was Buzz Aldrin... Who was the guy that was Michael Collins? Michael Collins in Gemini 15.
Jamie's like, I've
there
heard
was a photograph.
This before.
He's seen it many times. Pull out that photo. This,
oh God.
This is what I'm
with
talking
the
about.
Shadow?
No. It has nothing to do with that. This is a photo that they put out as an official photograph of Michael Collins doing a spacewalk. But what it actually is a photo of them testing equipment, and they blacked out the background. So he's in this suit that they were doing with testing, and instead, because they really couldn't get good photos in space because no one's out there with him taking his pictures, right? So they lied. They faked it. This is it. So see, the one on the left, you see the real photograph. And this is him in a studio where they're working on him, or warehouse rather, or some sort of a testing environment, working on how to control these harnesses that you would use when you're on a spacewalk.
Okay. Because
that thing, you know, propels him forward and back, and he's learning how to use it. What they did was they just blacked out the background and reversed it, and then they sold that as him actually being in space. So this is probably an overzealous publicist. And there's a bunch of these. There's a bunch of these when it comes to different backgrounds in areas of the moon that are many, many miles apart from each other. It shouldn't be the same background. And more likely than not, what you're dealing with is overzealous publicists because photographs were incredibly difficult to get, I'm sure.
Well, the moral of this story to me, thank God, first of all, that you're no longer a moon landing denier. But also, the power of the media and the press, and like you saw one documentary, right?
It was a couple after I saw that.
And
I saw
that,
quite a few.
But that sent you down this rabbit hole. And that, you know.
Thank God you're no longer a moon landing denier. Goodness gracious. Yeah, listen, Napoleon, I can understand why some people hate Joe Rogan. I used to be a Rogan hater. I used to be a Rogan hater, bro. These days, man, I like him. Even though he's obviously spouting bullshit. If he's claiming that man can walk on the moon, this is obviously bullshit, yeah? But I just respect him for what he does, man. Napoleon, let me tell you why, man. He has a podcast where he sits there, he drinks, he smokes weed, has on guests, talks about philosophy. He's living the dream, dude. Now, I might not agree with his overall shtick, but so what, man? He's living the dream, man. I think, dude, he gets to fly around America commentating on UFC. That is the dream job. And you know what? His commentary is pretty good. Some people bag him. Nah, dude, his commentary on UFC is pretty good, man, for a guy who was never in the octagon. He knows what he's talking about, man. I like the guy. Even if he wants to pretend the moon landings are real, whatever, man. I used to be a hater. I'm now a Joe Rogan fan. I don't listen to his podcasts because I've got better stuff to listen to. But I used to be a hater, Napoleon. I'm no longer a hater. What say you?
Oh, no, I wish he was deaf. He's a cunt. He's causing more problems than enough. He's the fucking generational. He's fucking worse than Ravisi. Kids on drugs and fucking us. That's why. Honestly. He's enough in there. They sit on the fences. By the time they're 50, they're gonna look around and go, oh, no, look at all this shit that's just happened. Well, you know what I've been about. And remember, this is just my opinion, because I wasted my youth. You know what I mean?
What do you mean you wasted your youth? What do you mean by that?
Most of my time was spent under a quilt. Do you know what I mean?
But that's the same for all of us, man. Most of us wasted our youth trying to either seek birds, wasting our time with birds.
Yeah, well, even
wasting our time pining over birds. Most of us guys have wasted our time in our 20s, man.
I know, but then you realise you get to the age of, say, 32, 33, and you're no longer the demographic that anyone's listening to. You know, which is good. Which is, you know, it's handy not being ignored. And I'm the most ignored. It's perfect. 41 at the moment. No, I'm invisible, man. I can say what I want and do what I want, and just fucking no one sees me. But, you know, Joe Rogan's, he's on everything. People value his opinion. The only time I really enjoy him is when there's another comedian with him, because he's not funny. I did think the Trump live votes coming in, I thought that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because we just see now that the American public in that room was real, like, going for Hillary, you know. And now it was played up. It did sort of whip up a frenzy, don't they? And they're very cute on social media, and, you know, every day they're getting that little bit PC, so to speak, you know, instead of asking real questions. I mean, like, they'll do stuff like Michael Jackson and stuff. I have no idea if he's been fucking about with kids, but you don't build a thingy in your front yard, you know, unless there's something going on. So, you know, there is something fucked up there, but you can't just, like, it's always black and white. He's not making a decision. He'll say, well, this is what they think, and this is that, and then he'll go into his own little thing, and he never puts his finger on it. He never really, you know, says anything. Like you just brought up the moon landing there. He said that convinced him, and critical thinking. So
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Imagine that, man. You're questioning the moon landings, and then Neil deGrasse Tyson, of all people, changes your opinion. I mean, come on, this is just silly.
But I think that if you carry on with that thingy, the interview there, he says the critical thinking is like, it's when Neil deGrasse Tyson said, you know, well, we couldn't have made up all that information.
I'm pretty sure what he says is, it would have cost us more to fake it than to do it. Any person who believes that is a retard. Anyone who believes that it would cost more money to fake it than to do it is, in fact, a retard. No exception, okay? None. I actually released a video on YouTube, because my YouTube channel got deleted by YouTube, obviously. Probably, like, my fifth or sixth biggest video. Had about 40,000 views. Was where I played a clip of someone calling into Joe Rogan saying, oh, it would have cost more to fake it than to do it. Like... Yeah. You have got to be a complete, like, your brain has to be mush to believe that, yeah? You know that 2001 was released the year before the moon landings, man. A movie.
Aye.
And ready, by the way, Napoleon, ready, man, ready I asked you go. A couple ready of days ago about your opinion on 2001, and it was like, man, your response was fantastic. Honestly, dude, like, I gave you no warning. I just sort of threw it out there. Your interpretation of the Black Monolith so-called coincidence was fantastic, man.
Like, I know, but you're only going to see that if you're a fakeologist or, you know, someone who likes films and the real world. You know, if you're just into films, you're only going to see certain aspects of the Monolith, right? Which is fine up until September the 10th, 2001. And then once
I can't, but if I could, I would play... Because you gave, like, a three-minute answer. If I could play that right now, I would. I can't, but... What was that? FAC... What are we now? FAC... Let's look that up. People who listen to fakeologist.com. Basically, what happened was I asked both yourself and the other person on the call. It was Nightly News, I think. I said, what do you make of this Black Monolith? Coincidence, man. The Black Monolith is the main motif of the Stanley Kubrick film 2001: A Space Odyssey. There's a Black Monolith across from the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. What do you make of this? And your response, like, just off the cuff, was fucking impressive, man. So what was that episode? Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. It was 550. Holy shit.
555. Look at
that. 550, man. It was FAC 550, as in 55, as in 55 Church Street, which is where the Black Monolith is. That is where the Millennium Hilton sits right now. You can go there today. 55 Church Street, is the black monolith, the Millennium Hilton, that was there on September 11th. Can you believe that?
You've got it, right? You've got to believe that everything's a coincidence. You know,
come on, it's not coincidence. Did you and I conspire to do our little call that night? No, it was just random.
I didn't know there'd been 555 chats.
No, neither did I. So somehow, by random chance, man, no intention on my part, and I don't think any intention on your part, we were FAC 550, as in 55 Church Street, man. Now, if you want to come to me and tell me, oh, it's all just a coincidence, I'm like, okay, anyone who believes that is hopeless, man. There is something going on here, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But there is something going on, man. There's no doubt about that now. And you know what I think?
Yeah.
I think the cosmos, man, is on my side. And I think it's on your side, Napoleon. And I think it's on the side of every person listening to this right now. If we're still here, after all of the trials, all of the tribulations, if we're still here, man, I think the cosmos is on our side. That's what I believe, honestly. So this idea that, oh, the people who run the show are evil, maybe they are, man, but they're not your problem. Seriously, they're not your problem. Don't worry about them, man. Don't worry about them.
I don't think the people that run the show are the ones that do that kill anyone. Yeah, like I say, most things it's easier to fake.
Well, can I ask you a question, Napoleon? Do you think the so-called elite? Because listen, there are some people who have more money and more power than us. Like that is obvious. Yeah. Do you think those people are evil? Do you believe that they're evil or that they're nefarious or malevolent or they want you to have troubles? Like, do you believe that?
I don't, but I don't consider we count to them anyway. You know what I mean? We're not on the same level. I'm sure if push comes to shove, they wouldn't mind wiping out a busload. But you know, we're nothing. You know, but just like shooing away a fly. You know, it's not going to be a problem. So, no, they don't pay attention to us. The people that run the place do not pay attention to us. They run the place on an aesthetic level.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Because, you know, in the past, there was some fakeologist, pardon me, who was saying, like, oh, they're monitoring our reactions to their latest fake event to learn from us. And, like, guys, I would love
to. I can believe someone will be monitoring there, whoever's in charge of whatever platform it eventually goes to. But someone will be monitoring there.
Here's the problem. If let's pretend the CIA or MI5 or Mossad or some group assigned someone to spy on us, right? Let's just pretend. If they had to listen to us, eventually they'd realize we're right. Like, we're correct about these events being fake. So, like, can you see the problem here? If you assign people to listen to us, you're assigning people to join our perspective, yeah? It doesn't make sense, man.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't on that level. Obviously, no, it doesn't on that level, because that's like considering espionage and spying, really. It doesn't on that level. But on a metaphysical level, which is what we were talking about, like with the Millennium Hilton Hotel there, or the Millennium Falcon, that's
by the way,
real
dude,
world.
Millennium Falcon, I like that. Is that yours, or did you steal that from someone?
No, that's mine. I'm having that. All my sound bites are registered to Napoleon Wilson, and he lives in the cupboard under my stairs.
Yeah, I love it. Can you please explain to the audience what you're talking about? Because I know what you're talking about. Can you explain it to the listeners? When you say Millennium Falcon, can you explain the context there?
Right. So the Millennium Falcon, or Falcon, is in Star Wars. And Star Wars is one of the biggest esoteric films going. In Star Wars, there's two twins, and they're separated, but they're very close together, but they're separated, and one of them has a lightsaber. Now, in theory, if you put that into pictorial things, that's the Twin Towers. Two twins separated, but very, very much close, and one of them has a stick. And they both disappear in the Millennium, Leia and Luke disappear in the Millennium Falcon. And the two Twin Towers disappear during the Millennium Falcon. If you divide 9 by 11, you get 081 recurring, which is very similar to Obi-Wan. And we can go on from there, from Calcified Lies onto Kubrick.
You're a fan of Calcified Lies, are you?
Anything that is to do with analysing the, I think, even though, like we said the other day, 2001, it's not a science fiction film. It's called a hermetic. Is that a Hermes Trismegistus? That's what it is. That sort of lined everybody up for the next stage, didn't it? And that did seem to be Star Wars.
He's dead.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
So, bro, we've got to give some context here. So, no, we've got to give context.
So, you guys, yeah, basically.
No, let me give context, man. This is what I do. I'm the best in the business. The context here is that Calcified Lies is an individual. Steve, I think, is his name. He was interviewed on Fakeology just a couple of years ago. He runs his own blog. He's a very intelligent individual. Unfortunately, in my opinion, he went down the path of believing that Ab is a so-called paid shill. All of his guests, including me, are page shills. You too, Napoleon. He would call you a page shill. He went down a very conspiratorial, paranoid path, yeah? But if you read his blog and just, like, not cut out, but just, like, don't let his paranoid shit affect you. His esoteric stuff, man, is fantastic, yeah? And he wrote a piece on 9/11 called The Skeleton Key. And that piece, 2 years ago, got me looking into sync, which led to me doing what I'm doing. So, all of the people who like my sync work, well, guess what? Don't thank me. Thank people like Calcified Lies. His work got me looking at sync properly. Yeah? He's a very insightful person, in my opinion.
The good thing... Oh, no, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I mean, It's been ages since I've reached it out, so if there's anything new on that, feel free to let me know.
Napoleon, man, I had no idea that you even knew about Calcified, man. How did you find his work?
Oh, just through app. Everything was by a Fakeologist, you know?
He was a guest on Fakeologist, man. I'm going to find the episode. Hold on. I'm telling you right now, Calcified was a guest on Fakeologist. Yes. Oh, dude, it was episode 117. I know that off the top of my head. Yep. F117, okay, so in sync, man, 17, 11 are both massive numbers in sync. Calcified Lies was episode 117, dude, you know. Now, I'm willing to bet that he did not say to Ab, can I please be F117? It just happened by chance, yeah. But here's the thing about sync, man, here's the thing about the cosmos. There's something going on. There is a reason why Calcified Lies was F117, yeah? His interview was more important than a regular episode, yeah? Okay? So if I met... Yeah. I think his name's Steve. If I met Steve, Steve might say, oh, no, JLB, man, I didn't choose that episode. I'm like, I know you didn't. And if I met Ab, I'd be like, no, I didn't choose... No, I know you didn't, dude. Something bigger than you led to this. You understand? That's the beauty of sync, man. When you get it, you realize there's something bigger going on, man. And Calcified Lies was episode 117 of Fakeologist. 117.
Well, I'm not up to scratch from a numerology, so I'll take your word for it there. But it's been the funny thing about that is when they put how did he put it when he was talking about, you know, like Luke being the terrorist and bringing down, you know, all these different things. But that film's so significant to kids, and I could never understand why Darth Vader was so evil. You know, this fella in black killing people out of nowhere, left, right, and center, who was the big baddie. I couldn't understand that, and it never made sense until I had seen the second film and then the third film. So, you know, the entire the symbolism, the language involved in it, you know, the spaceships, all the cameras that were used, that was all a learning curve for them, but it was also they knew exactly what they were doing, you know. They knew how to encapsulate the minds of kids, and it was I would have loved to have been there during the Star Wars craze. I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. I probably would have gone totally the other way. But
so were you a Star Wars fan when you were a kid?
Right? I never had the toys, John. I never had the toys. The odd little one here and there. I was more of a couple of toy cars and a football kind of lad, you know.
Well, like, what did you watch when you were a kid? Like, did you have, like, a favourite TV show or a favourite film? Like, what was your influence back then?
I always found out about TV shows when my friends went, right, I'm going in to watch this. And they would have to say, okay, I better go in myself and watch it. So I found out about Knight Rider that way. And I found out about The A-Team that way. And that was about it.
Like, well, let me ask you a question, and I know for a fact that you can answer questions on the spot very well. So there's no excuses here. If you had to give, like, a short list of your favourite film, like, suppose, hypothetically, man, you were stuck on a spaceship. I know they're fake, but you were stuck on one for 5 years. They said you can only bring, say, 5 movies for 5 years, man. You're stuck on a spaceship for 5 years, man. You can only bring 5 movies. What kind of movies would you think about bringing with you? Hypothetically, man, what are the most important films in your life? You tell me.
Oh, God, I've no idea, but since you said that, I'd have to, like, pick one with a good soundtrack, so I had something going on there, one that was a bit gritty. So I think we'd probably go for Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, that's a fucking awesome film, dude. What an amazing film. Do you sometimes feel, Napoleon, like your life is that way? Because I do, bro. I wake up and I'm like,
great, yeah.
Didn't I do this yesterday? Wasn't this exactly what
James,
I did yesterday?
Man. Yeah, but that's...
He's
this
a funny guy, too. What's
the
guy's name? What's that main actor's name? What's his name?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, dude. He's a genius, man. He's a comic genius. I think so, man. I think he was brilliant in that film. And what does he do? He spends his time learning all the tricks. Here is how you sleep with the women. All you have to do is just learn the lines, man. If this line doesn't work, tomorrow, use a different line. He masters the art. He becomes a pickup artist, bro. He masters the lines, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the clip for you. Check this.
Play it. Play it right now.
Okay, that should play that.
I'm sorry? What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck? You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
Every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
I could come back if you're not ready.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Ha! Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
Doris. This is Doris. Her brother-in-law, Carl, owns this diner. She's worked here since she was 17. More than anything else in her life, she wants to see Paris before she dies.
Oh, boy, what are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
I know you.
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
This is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me? Is this some kind of trick?
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around so long, he knows everything.
Oh, okay. Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
True.
How do you know these people?
I told you, I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's going to drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough. What about me, Phil? Do you know me, too?
I know all about you. You like producing, but you open for more than Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Well, everyone knows that.
You like boats, but not the ocean. You go to a lake in the summer with your family up in the mountains.
There's a long wooden dock and a boathouse with boards missing from the roof. And a place you used to crawl underneath to be alone. You're a sucker for French poetry and rhinestones. You're very generous. You're kind to strangers and children. And when you stand in the snow, you look like an angel.
How are you doing this?
I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it. If you still can't believe me, listen. In 10 seconds, Larry is going to come through that door and take you away from me. But you can't let him.
Larry.
Please believe me. You've got to believe me.
You guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather. What's that?
We're going to stay ahead of the weather.
She's reading a note. He just give her there. There you go. And that's how you run the world.
Bro, that is
you
a great
know everything.
From Groundhog Day. What a film. What a film, yeah. Dude. And you must sometimes, especially now that you're sober, you must sometimes feel like you are living the same day, man. You're like, didn't I live this day yesterday? Isn't this the same day?
No, there's always something to learn, isn't it? And for instance, did you know helium defies gravity? Helium comes from uranium.
Don't even get me started on chemistry.
Fucking brilliant.
You know diamonds are a hoax, right? You know diamonds are a hoax. You know how people are spending thousands of dollars on a diamond? You know those are a hoax, right? They're not mined from the ground. They're manufactured in a Chinese factory. Straight up.
I've got a funny feeling most of the money goes on the people cutting them. You know, and in the old days, that was where it came from. No one's going to go back and appraise all these diamonds now, especially after most of the standards come from these things. If they went back and found to be fake, it'd be like Picasso's, wouldn't it? You know, so, yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, the diamonds are all made in China. Just like any junk from made in China, they're all fake, man. They're not mined from the ground. I know that sounds crazy, but look into it. It's obvious.
Glass is glass, remember, you know, you can do a lot to glass. Half of these big ones could just be glass from years ago. You know, who's going to go and
who's
test them?
Who's checking this stuff, man? Who's checking? Nobody is the answer. Yeah? The Lemmings don't check shit.
I would take Jaws. I'd have to take Jaws. Jaws is a cracking film.
That's a Spielberg film? Yeah?
It is, but I'm going to have to give myself a sci-fi. I've just realised.
Bro, Jurassic Park is an amazing film. Even if you know that dinosaurs are fake, it is still a fantastic film, man. It's fantastic.
I know, but I don't know if anyone lands there and, you know, it's just a rescue, man, just before being rescued, they go, you've got a Jeff Goldblum film, and they leave, man. No, we'd have to throw in a proper sci-fi
bro,
film.
Bro, even just the casting of Jeff Goldblum as the science expert. You know, in that film, he's the guy who's, like, using chaos theory. What they do is, in the whole film, they dress him in dark clothes,
man.
Right?
He's
wearing his leather jacket. He's like the expert scientist who's cynical of Jurassic Park, yeah? Even just that one move to cast him in that role, genius. Absolute genius, man. I don't like Steven Spielberg, but I admire his films, man. Some of them are quality, dude. Quality. It's not easy to do what he does, you know?
No, that's true. He is a magician. He is Indiana Jones trilogy.
I've never seen Indiana Jones, man. I know this sounds crazy. I've never seen an Indiana Jones film. I know that sounds crazy. Never seen one.
You'd love it. You would love it. Seriously, it's one of them things. I revert back to being a kid when I see it.
Well, you know what I have to do, Napoleon? I have to come to Manchester, bro. I've got to come to Manchester and come and hang out with you for a week.
Do you have a spare couch? No.
Have you got a spare room that I can lay out a fold-out couch on? If I buy a spare mattress, can I stay
in the corner and laugh? You can stand in the corner and laugh. If you come here, I'll find you a fucking
you know what I reckon? I reckon when we were first talking, you still believed in Paige Hills, and I think now you're starting to realise maybe it's not real, And I think if I just spend one week with you, if I spend 1 week with you, after the end of that week, you'll be like,
you're not going to do.
You'll be a little bit embarrassed. You'll feel a little bit embarrassed
by staying
with me. Ever thought that I was working for the government?
No, you.
After 1 week,
you say a drone in my Google grab at anything. Do not try and get some of my credibility. Honestly, I'm sticking with it. Go on, let's carry on with the films. I've got one side.
No, bro, I'm going to go, man. If the court's at 12, I'm going to go and I'm going to KO Nightlife, man.
I
worked very hard, bro. Hear me out, man. I worked very hard for years to achieve this, and now that I've achieved it, I'm enjoying it. Probably a little bit too much, man, but I'm going out tonight. So, listen to Polly, man. This has been a great chat, man. This has been fantastic. I reckon you and I could do like a weekly show, man. If you're up for it, I reckon we could do a weekly film review and appraisal show. Seriously. This has been fantastic. I've really enjoyed this, man. This has been great.
I'm not into trying to entertain people. It's
bullshit, mate. You love entertaining people. You love it, mate. You love it.
I've not been able to have a piss while we've been talking, and
Really? I've taken two, mate. I broke the seal a long time ago, mate. And you know what? You've got a natural voice for radio, and you know you do. You've got a beautiful Barry White voice, and you know you do, man. So don't even pretend otherwise. You're a natural for this stuff, man. So I reckon we could get like a weekly film appraisal show going. Napoleon and JLB. Review Karate Kid. Yeah? Review
Neighbor.
Star Wars. Yeah? Yeah. Review
Neighbor.
The Matrix. Yeah?
I'll talk about the ones that they get wrong.
It was the 20-year anniversary of The Matrix a few weeks ago. It was released in 1999, yes. Right? Can you believe it's been 20 years, man?
No. 25 years for Johnny Mnemonic.
And that's a very good point, bro. Johnny Mnemonic. How many people know that? What's his name? Don't tell me.
Whoa.
Don't tell me. Yeah, he's in Speed as well. Hold on. I'm embarrassed, man. I've had a lot to drink. Forgive me. That guy was in Johnny Mnemonic, which is about a guy who uses technology, yeah, like USB drives, to get counterfeit information from one group to another, yeah? Same guy.
That's it. They wiped some of his memory, the install files.
Napoleon, you're going to love this, man. You're going to love this. So in Speed, if you watch the film Speed, what's his name? Just tell me, I can't remember it.
Keanu Reeves.
Thank you, Keanu Reeves. So in Speed, you know, at the end of the film, how they're on the train, and then the train bursts through the surface and comes back out at street level and skids along. If you watch it, dude, it goes past a cinema, like a theatre, and guess what? And this film is from like 1990-something, I don't know. Guess what the theatre is playing, right? So Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper, they've had a little war on the train. The train bursts through the surface. Now it's skidding along. It skids past a cinema. Would you like to guess what film the cinema's playing? 2001.
Oh,
dude, 2001 A Space Odyssey. Are you fucking kidding me, man?
Explosion train. Yeah, that's good. That terroristic, yeah. I never went back and looked. I tell you what, though, Die Hard's still the best. Dyad's still the one. I mean, talk about Star Wars is more of the entire day and when they made it real with the real life. But Dyad is still funny. I imagine Dyad going on in one of the towers if on a different timeline.
Are you a Bruce Willis fan? You like Bruce Willis?
I think he's brilliant. I've no idea what he does for a living, but they just set a film around him and it's great. And he just gets dirtier and dirtier, and by the end, he needs a wash. When he needs a wash, that's usually when the big buddy dies.
Bro, I'm telling you, man, we could make this a weekly show. Napoleon and JLB talk about films. Leave comments, guys, in the comment section below here at fakeologist.com. What I'm going to do, Napoleon, is promote this on my website. We'll see if people like it. Do you enjoy this show? If you do, I hope you do. I've enjoyed it. It's been great. Leave a comment. Tell us what you do. We can do this more often, man. There's a million films to talk about, dude. There's a million. Like, there's no end to the whole thing, you know? I was watching Total Recall a couple of days ago. Total Recall. Holy shit, man. The amount of stuff in there is just full on.
Do you know, the funny thing is, I think scenes, you know, analysing a scene, it can do a lot as well. You know, just certain scenes from films, because we all know the films, and we don't need to start off with things like that. So, but there are certain scenes in, you know, certain films that just literally always stand out with me. Whether it's displaced time scenes, you know, from Reservoir Dogs or True Romance, or, you know, Pulp Fiction, should I say. Or you'll get things like the first time he sees as a vampire, you know, Brad Pitt when he's in the interview with the vampire.
I haven't seen that, would you believe? But get this, man, I've got to go, so I'm going to give you a chance. Suppose the audience of JohnLeBond.com are listening. Napoleon, yeah, in the UK. What is your parting thought? And then once you're finished, I'm going to play a clip. It's one of my favourite clips. So, Napoleon from Manchester, man, your final thoughts on April 11, 2019. You wrap the show up, and then I'll play this clip. And by the way, thank you. I've really enjoyed this. It's been great. This has been fantastic.
Final thoughts. Here we go, then. If you really look into Back to the Future, it's not really the brightest film going. He ends up back in a timeline which he didn't know. Obviously, his parents are more opulent, so they would have had more trips and stuff like that, and he doesn't know anything about these memories. In order to get to that timeline, he's had to literally psych himself up to make a sexual assault on his mum in a car. Luckily, that stops because she's assaulted him, which is not going to, you know, really do him well. So I can understand Eric Stoltz seeing the film was bad and not actually getting really involved in it, and obviously that's why Spielberg changed it.
So, we are going to have to come back to discuss all that. Thank you, Napoleon. You've been awesome, dude. April 11, 2019, JohnLeBond. Thank you, Fakeologist, Ab, all the supporters. You guys are great. And here's a little clip that I think you guys should find amusing.
Humbling down. We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away
and witnessed. Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is 5 blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, though. Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, it's just really, really nice. I can easily feel myself slipping into more and more ways. That's the world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
That's all, folks.